this morning we are using this mic rather than the radio mic. There are some gremlins in the system, so the radio mic is not working this morning. So we're going to use this. Well, it's great to see you here this morning. Can I have the first slide up, please, Akosha? Thank you. The good news from Mark this morning... Good news, there's been a baby. A baby's been born to Meghan and Harry, that's right, yes. And he's called Archie, apparently, isn't he? What a gift. What good news, isn't it? And that's how Mark starts his gospel. He starts his gospel with the words, "This is good news." The beginning of good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. Let me just turn to that. The beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. You'll have that on your notice sheet if you want to follow the reading. That will be great. This is actually the title of Mark's book. One sentence there. The beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. This is the title of Mark's book. In the old days, books were written on... not on paper like we have them, but on papyrus, so it was quite expensive. So words were at a premium. So Mark, in this one sentence, covers the title of his book. This is the story. This is the beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. And it is good news. So I think Meghan and Harry's baby today was a gift to today's sermon, wasn't it? It's good news. It's good news. So let's read, shall we, the story together. Now, I've... put it on your notice sheet. I've missed out from here on this one, the story of John the Baptist. We're not going to cover that this morning. So let's read this together. The beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and the angels attended him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Wonderful. What a great story. So we're starting Mark's Gospel this morning. This is the story of Mark's introduction, really, this morning. An introduction to the whole of the gospel. Although we're only looking at chapters 1 to 8 in the next few weeks, Mark's introduction is obviously for the whole gospel. And I put some notes on the notice sheet to give you some background to Mark's gospel. Mark is John Mark. And we think that Mark's gospel was actually a collection of Peter's remembrances of Jesus, written in Rome when Nero was emperor. The gospel is good news. Now, you might have in your version of the Bible the beginning of the gospel about Jesus. And actually, that's the same word. Gospel just means good news. It's the word evangelion in Greek, where we get our word evangelical from, evangelistic. But it just means good news. The thing was, though, that it was a religious word it's a religious word today, isn't it? We think of it as the gospel is all about, you know, people say, have you preached the gospel? Are you going to preach the gospel? So it's a religious word today. But back then, it was actually a political word. Although in today's politics, good news and politics don't often go together, do they? But back then, they didn't have WhatsApp or Facebook or other social media, no telephones. So how did you get the message out? Well, as Adam told us this morning, messages went out bearing the good news. And that was called good news, gospel. They went out bearing the gospel, which was good news. It might be that a royal baby had been born. It might be, actually, that the emperor had won a victory. One of the pieces of good news that we have with us still today is this. Caesar Augustus is king. He has defeated Octavian in battle and has brought us peace. He has brought us salvation. He is Lord. That's a message that went out to the Roman Empire. Messengers will carry that good news out, shouting, good news, good news. And that's what Mark says right at the start of his gospel. He says, this is good news. This is news worth paying attention to. This is about the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. The good news. Well, in this good news, three storylines converge. Or rather, from this first sentence, three storylines start to separate out and come together towards the end of the gospel. And it's important we kind of just hang on to what those three storylines are, that we might be aware of them as we go through the different stories that we're going to cover in Mark's gospel. Three storylines. You know, when you watch a film sometimes, and there's kind of like a surface story, but often there's a story running underneath that, and sometimes a story underneath that as well. Sandra and I went to see Captain Marvel the other day, which, if you don't know, is a DC comic book film. And it probably would have helped us if we'd seen the previous films. As we were a little bit, when we came out, we kind of said, what's that all about, dear, to each other. But we realized that there were several storylines running in the film and a bit of a backstory as well. And it wasn't until you get to the end of the film that the storyline started to come together. Well, so it is with Mark's gospel. Three storylines set out from here and intertwined throughout the gospel, coming together in the death and resurrection of Jesus. So what are those three storylines? Well, the first one, and Adam's mentioned it this morning, we didn't kind of coordinate our sermon and worship very much at all, really, but Adam's covered it this morning, which is fantastic. New creation. The first storyline is about new creation. You know, it's the phrase, the beginning of the gospel. The beginning of the gospel. There are some other words, aren't there? There's another opening phrase to the Bible, in the beginning. You remember that? In the beginning. And actually, in the original language, those words and these words here that Mark uses are exactly the same words. So Mark is kind of saying to his people, actually, here's a storyline here that starts right back in the beginning of time. And this is a story that's as important as creation. In fact, Mark's gospel is kind of laced through with references to creation. We've read some this morning. Remember where Jesus was baptized and the heavens are torn apart and the Spirit descends like a dove? Well, in some of the early manuscripts of Genesis where it says the Spirit hovered over the waters, it says the Spirit as a dove hovered over the waters. And Jesus, we've read, gets sent out into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan, doesn't he? And in Genesis, after the creation, Adam and Eve are tempted by the serpent. So there are lots of kind of echoes of creation in Mark's gospel. But Mark is saying here this morning that the introduction of Jesus, the coming of Jesus, is no less momentous than the creation of the world. For in Jesus, a new creation is at hand. Isn't that marvelous? In Jesus, a new creation is at hand. Some of you I know are taking part in the Bible course in your house groups, and that's fantastic. Let me say, if you're not taking part, can I encourage you to think about being part of the Bible group, doing the Bible course? It's just a wonderful way of exploring the big story of the Bible. Not just learning more about the Bible, but more about the God it speaks about. So let me encourage you. Don't sit there on a Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday watching Coronation Street. or EastEnders, you can catch up with those later on. Get out to find a group and explore the Bible together. But the big story of the Bible could be summed up in these three words. Creation, decreation, and recreation. How about that? It's the whole Bible summed up in three words. Creation, decreation, and recreation. Creation, God creates a world that's beautiful, that's diverse and rich, has everything in it. It probably never rains, though it must rain from. But it's a beautiful world that God creates. And then Adam and Eve come along and spoil it. They turn away from God through pride and selfishness, a distrust that God has their best for them. And the world experiences catastrophic breakdown in all its dimensions. We too find ourselves, don't we, bent away from what is right and bent towards what is wrong. That's decreation. Recreation. Mark is saying this is the story of recreation. Jesus is coming. Jesus has come. And in Jesus, Jesus is bringing restoration, redemption, renewal to the world. In Jesus, a new world is coming to birth. Jesus is the beginning of the recreation of Eden. Paul puts it this way. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Isn't that amazing? This is the very message that Mark speaks of. Jesus brings new creation. In fact, the NLT has a couple of verses that say this. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old has gone, a new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. Mark's saying the same thing. This is God breaking into our world, bringing recreation to his broken universe. And that means that recreation for us is possible. That means that a new start for us is possible. It means that we don't have to carry around with us our guilt and our shame, that they can be dealt with and a fresh start is possible. Who doesn't want a fresh start? Who doesn't want a fresh start every day, every other day, every week? Our past is forgiven and forgotten when new life in Jesus becomes possible. Mark is saying this is what happens in and through Jesus. So that's the first storyline. Second storyline is about Jesus being the Messiah. The beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah. Now you might have a Christ in your version of the Bible about Jesus Christ. Well, we sometimes think that Christ is Jesus' name, Jesus Christ. But it's not. It's actually a title. And it means the anointed one. And that's the Greek word, Christ. The Hebrew word is Messiah. It captures a picture of the one forecast in the Old Testament, the coming king who was going to put an end to everything that was wrong, and to stop evil and injustice, and to usher in an age of peace. Sometimes think of the Old Testament as kind of God's plan A, don't we? And it all goes horribly wrong, so God has to think of another plan, so he sends Jesus. But actually the story of the Bible is one continuous story about Jesus. Did I mention the Bible course? A Bible course. Now, that sort of shape underneath helps explain the big story, but it starts on the left with a tree, the tree of life in the Garden of Eden, and ends with a tree in Revelation, the tree of life again, in the vision that John has in Revelation. And the whole Bible is the story of God's promised rescue for our world. There is no plan A and then plan B. Jesus has always been God's plan A. Which raises an interesting question. If there had been no fall, would Jesus still have come? You might want to think about that over lunch. But for Mark and for the early Christians, Jesus was the long-promised Messiah. And actually, right at the start of his gospel, he quotes Isaiah, doesn't he? He also quotes Malachi as well. He quotes Isaiah about John the Baptist. But Mark sees Jesus as the fulfillment of all the Old Testament promises of what God wants to do to renew his creation. So from Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, through Moses, David and the other kings, through the exile, through the prophets, right to the last prophet, Malachi. That's all about the story of Jesus that finds its fulfillment when he comes. And you know, that storyline continues with us today. It doesn't just stop with Jesus. Jesus ascended and the Spirit came down, and that storyline continues with us. We are able to carry on that storyline of Jesus being bearers of good news, being bearers of Jesus' story of redemption and grace. Every time we share something of the good news of Jesus, we are gospeling. We are gospeling. We are good newsing. We are sharing something of the story of Jesus. So that's the third storyline, the storyline that Jesus is the one promised of old. The third one is Son of God. The beginning of this good news of Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. Now, if you were Jewish, you'd understand what Messiah meant. If you were a Gentile, if you weren't Jewish, you might struggle with that, but you'd certainly understand what Son of God meant, because that was a title that was used for the emperor. The emperor was known as the Son of God. In Luke's gospel, he tells us that Caesar Augustus sent out a decree, and it was Augustus who started calling himself the Son of God, and he had coins made with his image on them. And the words on the coin said, and they're in Latin, D-I-V-I-F, Divius Filius, Son of God. So you have his picture on this side and maybe on the reverse side of here. And all these coins circulated. And it was Caesar who was the Son of God. So when Mark writes that Jesus is the Son of God, this is a challenge. And Mark is writing in Rome, where the emperor lived. You see, to declare that Jesus was the Son of God was to declare that no one else could be, that Caesar wasn't the Son of God. That's treason. That's treason. If I was to stand in a square in the capital of North Korea this morning and to say that Jesus is the highest authority, I wouldn't be there long doing that. I'd be arrested, wouldn't I? I'd be arrested. Because Kim Jong-un is the highest authority in the land. People give him their allegiance. The same in China. The church can survive in China, but only if it follows the rules. If it recognizes that there's a higher authority, the Chinese Communist Party. And so it's for many Christians around the world today. It's a higher authority they are meant to give their allegiance to. And actually, as Christians, we say, no, our first and highest allegiance is to Jesus. We don't face those challenges here in the West, do we? Our challenges perhaps are a bit more subtle. A challenge perhaps to consumerism, or to health, that's our first priority, or a desire for a quiet life, a peaceful life. Yeah, we're happy to be a Christian, but I don't want to get too disrupted or excited about that. Mark is saying here, actually, this is a story about one who comes to take authority. And we see that in the parables, in the miraculous healings. Jesus comes to take authority and to claim authority in our lives as well. Jesus, the Son of God. And it starts with that storyline. And that storyline ends, remember, at the cross, the centurion says, surely this man was the Son of God. These three storylines run through the Bible, run through Mark's gospel. But Mark isn't content just to lay them out. He throws a challenge to us, to the readers of the book, and to you and me. See, I'm kind of pleased that Archie's been born, but I don't think it's going to have much of an impact on our lives, is it? Certainly not on my life. You might know that President Trump is coming to London next month. And it probably won't have any impact on your life unless you happen to be in London the same day. And you might know that Liverpool and Spurs are now in the Champions League Cup final. And that's definitely good news. But it probably won't impact on our lives, will it? So Mark lays out the story of Jesus saying, yes, it's a new creation. Jesus comes as the King, Messiah, comes as Lord. But he challenges us to let that impact our lives. And so he builds into his first chapter the calling of the disciples. And he says it's possible, you know, to respond to that challenge. The challenge that Jesus issues, come, follow me. Come, follow me. See, as Mark lays out the three storylines, he invites us to put a fourth storyline in there. Our own storyline. The story of our own lives can be bound up within the story of Jesus. Come follow me, says Jesus. An invitation. Not just to see these as statements and we can walk away and leave them, but something that we can actually change our lives. Something we have to respond to. The time has come, says Jesus. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. This story demands an answer. And Luke lays out that challenge at the start of the book. It demands an answer. So in saying to us and to his readers, then, as you hear these stories of Jesus, you need to respond in some way. You can ignore it, or you can go with it, or you can make a difference to your lives. There's a challenge for us this morning. What do we do with this good news? This good news can give us a fresh start. This good news can allow us to come under the kingship of Jesus. See him as our Savior and our Lord if we choose. And I think that's our challenge as individuals and as church as we go through these few weeks on the first half of Mark's Gospel. Are we going to let this Jesus change our lives? Or are we going to hold him at a distance? Perhaps that's the challenge this morning for us. What do we do with Jesus? What will you and I do with Jesus? Well, it's good news. A baby's always good news, isn't it? Something to celebrate. But Mark says there's even better news than that. The possibility of a new start in relationship with God. And that's the best news of all. Amen.